Please do not think of the Holy Spirit as one-third of God. When you receive the Spirit of God, you receive the whole of deity. There is no more of God to receive when the Spirit of God lives in you. Are you living under the dominion of the flesh or of the Spirit? That is not just a casual question. It is a question of solemn consequences. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 reads, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." To be in the flesh does not mean that one lives in a human body, but it means to live according to the dictates of the sin nature which is within each person. And that's why the question is of such solemn consequences. Are you living under the dominion of the flesh or of the Spirit? Hear this reading from Romans 8, verses 9 to 11. "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Consider, verse 9 says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now there's no way to indicate in the English language the full impact of that statement as Paul wrote it first in the Greek language. But let me try to indicate its power. First, the pronoun is an emphatic position. It does not simply say, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." It says, "But as for you, you are not." Secondly, the negative "not" is an emphatic negative. You positively, absolutely are not in the flesh. The conjunction "but" is the strongest conjunction to be found in the Greek language and means "but on the other hand." And the terms "flesh" and "spirit" do not have the definite article before them. So it is not "the flesh" and "the spirit." The intensity of emotion is indicated by the apostle's writing of "flesh" and "spirit." So the sentence would read something like this, interpretively translated, "But as for you, you are nowise in the flesh, but on the contrary, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you." And that is the condition of every Christian. Notice the reference to the Spirit is dwelling in the believer in Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, "The Spirit of God dwells in you." Verse 10 refers to Christ in you. Verse 11 speaks of the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now that is the blessed doctrine of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Consider that verb, dwell. It is the verb form of a noun which means home. Therefore, dwell means to settle down and be at home. It means to abide permanently, not just to visit. The Holy Spirit is the host, not the guest in the Christian. The present tense of the verbs involved indicates that the indwelling is a continuous relationship which is going on right now, and that is true of every person who is saved. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You catch the thrust of that statement? Unless a person has the Spirit of Christ, he is not saved. He does not belong to Christ. He is not a Christian at all. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling the human spirit which makes a person saved. You see, salvation is not a gift which God presents to man apart from himself. It is God moving personally into the human spirit by the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit and living the life of God in the body of a man. And that's what it means to be saved. Therefore, if a person does not have the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of God, as he's otherwise called, that person does not belong to Christ. But he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. Now that's the difference the indwelling Spirit makes. His divine presence does not change the condition or state of your physical body, because your physical body is mortal. It has the seed of physical death in it, inasmuch as death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit produces a new and undying life. The Holy Spirit produces and sustains that eternal life because it is His own life, which He lives personally in the believer. The Holy Spirit was the effective agent in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He awakened the dead body of the crucified Jesus and caused it to live again. And He is the same power which quickens our mortal bodies and causes them to live. Is reference to the quickening of our mortal bodies looking toward the resurrection of the last day? Perhaps so. Those mortal bodies will be raised from death, changed into the likeness of Jesus, and we will be caught away to meet Him in the air. What a day that'll be. But the Christian religion is not just a pie in the sky by and by. It is real in the here and now. Therefore, the power of the Spirit and the life of the Christian is not withheld until the resurrection of the physical body. The same life-giving power of the Holy Spirit, which effected the physical resurrection of the dead body of Jesus and will effect the physical resurrection of the dead bodies of saints who die before Jesus returns, is effective here and now. The physical body, which could be used for the excesses of sin, can be used by the Spirit of God for deeds of holiness and grace. It is the Spirit who quickens us with new life at conversion. We're resurrected from spiritual death into spiritual life. The Bible states it this way, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He now quickened together with Him, forgiving you all trespasses." That's what we mean when we say that the same Spirit who effected the resurrection of Jesus Christ also effects spiritual life in our bodies now and at the final resurrection of the saved. The work of the divine Spirit is so great. He is called by various names to indicate the wonder of His person. He is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus. Please do not think of the Holy Spirit as one-third of God. When you've received the Spirit of God, you've received the whole of deity. There is no more of God to receive when the Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit is active in the life of the Christian, giving him freedom in Christ. He delivers the believer from the condemnation of sin. He delivers the believer from the dominion of the sin nature of flesh. He delivers the believer from the bondage of spiritual death and the power of spiritual death. He makes us alive with a new quality and quantity of life. He does not merely heighten our natural human talents, He makes us new creatures. Therefore, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Father, thank You for the present reality of the indwelling presence of Your Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. Thank You that His presence is not dependent on our performance, but upon Your grace. We confess our dependence upon Him. We repent of any sin which may have grieved Him, and we resolve to turn from quenching His divine ministry within us. Having been made free by the ministry of the Spirit of God, we resolve to live our lives which reflect the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.